Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., our very own First Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson. So if you would like to join us, you call in 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, and it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Praise be to God. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God.
to be overcome by your presence,
everybody. Open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship Him. Lift your hands and bless Him in this place.
My hallelujah belongs to you. y'all got it. Come on, say, my hallelujah. From the bottom of your heart, lift your voice. My hallelujah. Simply say, you deserve it. Real simple, say it, church.
Psalm 68 and 24 says, they have seen your possession, O God, the possession of my God, my King, Eli Maleke, into the the sanctuary. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Eli, Malachi, you are God, my God. I worship you, for you are seated on your mighty throne. I lift up your name and give you praise. Your kingdom rules over all. Your kingdom agenda is to advance your rule. The visible manifestation of your comprehensive rule over everything. You sit high and lifted up, enthroned above everyone and everything. You are King. I humbly bow before you to offer you my praise, honor, and admiration. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And all you have to do is to call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Praise be to God. Again, at 7 p.m., our very own First Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. Praise God. Feel free to join us in our lesson this evening. Amen. So at this time, I will play another selection.
Kind of clothes that he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? If Jesus walked the earth today, sometimes I wonder what he'd say. Would he lend a hand to help his fellow man? Would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray? Simply tell the Father thank you. And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? 'Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? Some will ever see, and you're the only words of life some will ever need. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need.
Worth saving, so you came and changed. came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I wasn't done for.
Amen. Praise be to God. It is now time for our devotional message. Amen. Which is entitled, Focus Your Entire Being on My Living Presence. Amen. And my scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalms chapter 89. Verses 15 through 16, where it says, Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. They rejoice in your name all day long. They exult in your righteousness. Praise be to God. My second scripture reading is coming from 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 through 20, and it says, This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Amen. Praise be to God. My third scripture reading is coming from Jude chapter verses 24 through 25, and it says, To him who is able to keep falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. And let us say amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And my fourth scripture reading is coming from Psalms chapter 41, verse 12. And it says, In my integrity, you uphold me and set me in your presence forever. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. Again, the title, Focus Your Entire Being on My Living Presence. I am almost assuredly with you enveloping you in my love and peace, while you relax in my presence. I am molding your mind and cleansing your heart. I am recreating you into the one I designed you to be. As you move from stillness into the activities of your day, do not relinquish your attentiveness to me. If something troubles you, talk it over with me. If you get bored with what you are doing. Fill the time with prayers and praise. When someone irritates you, don't let your thoughts linger on that person's faults. Gently nudge your mind back to me. Every moment is precious if you keep your focus on me. Any day can be a good day because my presence permeates all time. I pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you as it is to me. Praise God. Let us pray. God, my King, Eli Malachi, I ask for your pardon and forgiveness for not always giving you the honor due to you as King. Please forgive me for the many times I have pressed my own agenda rather than advancing your kingdom agenda. Grant me mercy, Eli Malachi. Malachi, for seeking to reign where you should rightly reign and for turning to my own ways rather than to yours. Forgive me for not using your word as a guide in every decision I make. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Again, at this time, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own First Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here to conduct our lesson in Talk the Bible. Amen. So right now, we are going to worship and praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Let's all hold hands, 'cause he is worthy to be praised.
Let's worship,
yes,
and praise.
Come on, sing along.
Honor and glorify his name.
Oh, yeah.
Let's worship.
praise God. Out of your bounty, O Lord, you have showered us with blessings too numerous to count. We thank you, loving Father, for days in which to live, for family and friends, and for skilled protectors of our lives in medicine, the military and law enforcement, and fire prevention. We thank you also for life beyond the ordinary, made possible through our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to give us life abundant and eternal. In the life-giving name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Withholding nothing, I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you. Withholding nothing, withholding.
Praise be to God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And as we are waiting on our speaker for this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins, to come to do our Bible study, Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson. So in the meantime, I will play. Oh, okay. Amen. So,
no,
you're still traveling?
Yeah, I'm still stuck on the bus.
my. Okay. So you want... So I can give a short message this evening, if that's okay.
Yeah, because I don't know. We're waiting because the bus can't. They have a wheelchair they're trying to put on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not working, so they're sitting here waiting for another bus.
Oh, no.
Yes.
It happened.
I've been trying to get home. I've been trying to get home since 5 o'clock.
Whoa. Now that. Oh, my goodness. Since 5?
Yeah, so.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I was going through one of the sermons this evening, and I came across a message.
Ahead, I'm gonna listen.
Okay, praise be to God.
Amen.
So our speaker, unfortunately, cannot be with us this evening because of circumstances out of her control. So what I am going to do, I'm going to play a selection, and after the selection, I will come back with a word from the Lord. Amen? Praise be to God.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage my choir in their farewell concert and recording, the Tri-City Singers. Put your hands together. Come on, choir. Let's encourage them out there. Let's tell them that the blessing of Abraham is on their life. Oh, my brothers and sisters, because you are in Christ, you are Abraham's heir. You have an inheritance on your life. You're the heir to the promise God made to Abraham. Go get your inheritance. Anybody gonna go get it out there? Here we go, y'all.
Go get it.
practice. Yeah, write a book, score a film. Somebody's gonna walk out of here and go right into their inheritance. Come on, tell them what it is. Say it, kill them.
Coming from Matthew's chapter 6, and we're going to read verses 19 through 24. Amen. Praise God. Where it says, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. So it says, Jesus teaches about money. And verse 19 says in Matthew 6, 19 through 24, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy. Thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desire of your heart will be also. Praise be to God. Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. Amen? But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness, the light you think you have is actually darkness? How deep that darkness is. 24. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. So let us pray. Out of your bounty, O Lord, you have showered us with blessings too numerous to count. We thank you, loving Father, for days in which to live, for family and friends, and for skilled protectors of our lives in medicine, the military, law enforcement, and fire prevention. We thank you also for life beyond the ordinary, made possible through our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to give us life abundant and eternal. In the life-giving name of Jesus, we pray. Now, Father God, remove self out of the way and allow the Holy Spirit to bring forth what thus says the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Now, the people in the church who have not grown up in it are especially important. The church loses its ability to proclaim and live the gospel in ways that are believable and compelling. When the only people in the church are people who have always been there, those of you who are new, however, may be confused by our talk about money. You have heard that salvation is free. Then all of a sudden, the ministers begins talking about tithes. Now, 10% of your salary, offerings beyond that, and even saying that people who don't tithe are robbing God. It's interesting to see the astonishment on the faces of people who have never heard of tithing when they learn that some people give 10% of their income to the Lord. A man told of a new friend who had never been in church before, but who began coming to his church. The friend became an active Christian, and after a while, the new Christian asked him, "What are the dues in your church?" The longtime church member smiled, and he had never heard of tithes and offerings being called dues. He replied to the man, "There are no dues, but we encourage all our people to give a tithe of their income to the church." The man asks before or after taxes? The new Christian had asked him, well, I give mine before taxes. The church member answered, man, I just want to give something, responded the new Christian. I didn't intend to make the church independently wealthy. This, of course, leads to a question. My text for this message is coming from Luke chapter 6, verse 38 in the RSV version. And it says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. In other words, you give a little, you get a little. You give a lot, you receive a lot. Amen? And my title for this message, we decided to quit. Question. Is the tithe a biblical principle? Fact one. The tithe started before the law, as did marriage and prayer. Now turn with me to Genesis 28, 20 through 22. Amen. And we will find out Genesis 28. Amen. 28, 20 through 20 through 22. And it says, then Jacob made this vow, if God will indeed be with me and protect me on this journey, and if he will provide me with food and clothing, and if I return safely to my father's home, then the Lord will certainly be my God. Verse 22 says, and this memorial pillar I have set up will become a place for worshiping God. And I will present to God a tenth. Remember now, a tenth of everything he gives me. So was Jacob trying to bargain with God? It is possible that he, in his ignorance of how to worship and serve God, threaten God like a servant who would perform a service for a tip. More likely, Jacob was not bargaining, but pleading his future to God. He may have been saying, in effect, because you have blessed me, I will follow you. Whether Jacob was bargaining or pledging, God blessed him. But God also had some difficult lessons for Jacob to learn. Amen? Praise God. Now, let's continue. Tithe belongs to God. It doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. And let's find out. Turn with me to Leviticus 27 and 30. Praise be to God. Okay, come on, running Leviticus 20, 17, 20, and 27, I'm sorry, Leviticus 27 and 30. Come on. 27 and 30 says, one-tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to him as holy. Amen. Praise God. Now, also, let's go to Malachi 3, 8 through 10. Numbers, Malachi, Deuteronomy, Judges. Okay. Sometimes the pages, stick together and... I didn't have time to put the scriptures together, but in any case,
it's okay.
Malachi.
Yes.
Amen.
Good. Go ahead.
Praise God. Okay,
1969. Mm-hmm. I have it on mute because I'm on the bus.
Yes, that's fine.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. 1969. So, I don't want to rush God's word because it is so good. Malachi 3, verses 8 through 10. And it says, should people cheat God? Yet, you have cheated me, but you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open up the windows of heaven for you, and I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to make it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Praise be to God. So here God is telling them that Malachi urged the people to stop holding back their tithes, like so many of us today. Figure, well, okay, I'll pay to this week, but next week I can't. To stop cheating God, the tithe system began during the time of Moses, back in Leviticus, again, that we just finished reading, and also in Deuteronomy 14 and 22. The Levites received some of the tithes because they could not possess land of their own. And then Numbers 18, 20 and 21. But during Malachi's day, the people were not given tithes. So the Levites went to work to earn a living, thereby neglecting their God-given responsibilities to care for the temple and for the service of worship. everything we have is from God. So when we refuse to return to him a part of what he has given, we rob him. Do you selfishly want to keep 100% of what God gives? Or are you willing to return at least 10% to help advance God's kingdom? And that's what our tithes are for, to advance God's kingdom, to put in the pastor's pockets or in their account, but in God's church. Amen? So that was Malachi 3, 8, and 10. Now, fact 3, Christians are not saved because they tithe. Your tithes can't save you. Nor are they abandoned by God if they do not tithe. And now, fact 4, tithing is not the only responsibility of Christians. Matthew 23:23 tells us, amen, Matthew 23:23 says, Mark 26. Okay, 23:23. What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herd garden, from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspect of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Now, justice, amen, mercy, and faith are more crucial.
Amen.
Yes, praise God, praise God. Justice, thank you. Justice, mercy, and faith are more crucial, but tithing is affirmed as being one act that we should not leave undone. Ann Landers received a letter from a woman expressing what many people must feel when first approached by the subject of money and giving in a Christian context. Now, this is what Anne said. Anne said, the letter says, "Dear Anne, about a year ago, we joined a church and enjoyed the friendship of the people we met. But shortly after joining, we started to receive the church bulletin. A few weeks ago, smack in the middle of page 1 was a stinging assault on those who do not tithe the full 10%. Now, that article was promptly followed by another strong rebuke, same subject. What if we cannot tithe 10%? Where does it say 10% in the Bible, which we just read? And does it mean 10% of one's growth or one's net income? Is it all right to tithe what you can and increase it when you are able? 2 weeks ago, we decided to quit going to church. Perhaps you identified with that woman's letter. Maybe you are ready to quit because you don't intend to give like that. You don't understand why so much is needed. You don't really believe God could expect that much. You cannot imagine how you would pay for your house, cars, utilities, groceries, clothes, and education, and still tithe. Is there a better way than to quit? Our text and Ann Landers' reply point to the answer. But you're worrying about paying your rent, your car notes, your utility bills, buying food and stuff. Where do you think all of that is coming from? It's God who's given us all of these things. And all he asks is 10%. And some people feel that 10% is a lot of money, but it's really not. You waste more than that by doing other things instead of paying your tithes, okay? Now, let's talk about the principle of growth. Now, Ann Landers replied to the woman's letter by saying, if you cannot tie 10% of your gross or net, give what you can and don't feel guilty. To stop attending the church for this reason is a perfect example of throwing out the baby with the bathwater. Amen. Our text says that God will bless us as we give. Surely a part of what that means is that as we give, he blesses us so that we grow in our ability to believe that we can give yet more. Now, this is a valid principle for Christians. God starts us with where we are. If we will begin to give of our income on a percentage basis, we can raise the percentage monthly or quarterly or annually until we are given what we believe we ought to give. The strength to this approach are threefold. First, we give something rather than postpone giving anything, because we cannot give the full amount. And secondly, we have a plan. Third, we can feel relieved because we have begun to be obedient to God's will. Something is always better than nothing. Now, the weakness to the preceding approach, however, is that God really does ask for a tenth. That is what the word tenth means. Tithe means. The widow was praised not because she had given a small gift, but because she gave all she had. She gave 100%. A minister cannot excuse someone from giving God's requirement minimum. A minister does not have the right to cheat you of blessings God wants you to have if you would. In faith, begin to do what you know will require God's help if it is to be done. Now, as your income increases, and some people are entrusted with great amounts, you will find that 10% is far too little. Hear me well. 10% is far too little to give. Now, one of the happiest moments of your life will come when you write a check for God's work that simply astounds you because you never thought you could give so much and feel so good about it.
Amen to that.
Yes, Lord. You see, even God gave you an increase for you to give him an increase. A clear issue before us is how we talk about money in the church. Some people say, why not let the people know what their fair share is and assess them their dues regularly? Now, everyone knows the church has to have some money. I'll give my part. Send me a bill. And we can about money so much. But we cannot do it that way. That's not God's way. Here's one reason why we cannot. The ministry principle is at the heart of a church budget. You hear me? The ministry principles is at the heart of a church budget. Our church shares responsibilities for hospitals, children's homes, universities, and seminars. There are missionaries in our land and around the world who seek to win people to Jesus Christ. Help new Christians build churches. Minister to the hungry and the sick. And teach unlearned. They depend on us. A church budget should never be planned as an instrument to see how little people will be asked to give. Rather, it should be planned prayerfully in answer to the question, what are the needs that God has called us to meet? We have the opportunity to impact our community and touch individuals' lives in a saving way. Teenagers, children, and babies need to know that the church loves them in the name of Jesus. And adults need spiritual direction. We must have buildings to provide space for ministering to others. And of course, the church must be involved in missionary outreach to the whole world. But there is yet another reason we talk about tithing and giving sacrificial offerings. Here we are at the heart of our text. The gift principles is the foundation of the church budget, God. Now, in Luke 6 and 38, in the RSV Bible says, Jesus said, give and it will be given to you. Giving allows our souls to be stirred up so that God can replace ideas we have grown accustomed to with fresh blessings that becomes a new joy to us. Christians' growth is directly related to how we learn to handle material possessions. Only a brief look at Matthew 25:14-30. Okay, so let's take a brief look at Matthew 22, praise God. Excuse me, Matthew 25:14-30. And this is where it's speaking about these verses where Jesus tells the parable of the loaning money. He said, this is Jesus speaking, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last. Now, dividing it in proportion to their ability, he then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earn 5 more. Now the servant with the 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. Silly, silly man. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now, I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. The servant who had received 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. let's celebrate together. Then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you did not plant and gathering crops you did not cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant, if you knew I harvest crop I did not plant and gathered crop I did not cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. Then he ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now, throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, why would you want to do that? Even if he'd have put it in the bank, at least he would have got a little interest on it. But he went and he buried it. Lazy he was. Will convince, so Matthew 25:14-30 will convince us that how Christians handle their material possessions is a significant measure of what will be entrusted to them in the future. Now, Matthew 6:21 reminds us that where our treasure is, there our hearts will be also. So if we do not invest the tithe in the Lord's work, our hearts will never be invested there either. The first money that comes out of your budget, the basic building block around which you build your budget, ought to be the money God asks of you for supporting the spread of the gospel. Notice that one of the blessings you receive by such giving is that you become more and more a growing, considerate, and sensitive person. Amen? The gift principle is illustrated by a man who had been a generous contributor to Christians' causes during a time of plenty in his life. Then he lose everything in a business recession. He was asked, he regretted having given away so much money. His reply was, no, I cannot regret what I have given, for what I spent, I used. What I kept, I lost. It was only what I gave that I still have. Every pastor knows men and women with that spirit. And the interesting thing is that although many who received because of the man's generosity were helped, the person most helped was the man who had learned the meaning of life and the purpose of his possessions. In a time of awful confusion, he knew what was important. In a time of deep distress, he felt no betrayal, for he had done the right thing. In a time of great loss, he was secured, for he knew where his security was really held. Amen. How many of us today can say that? Think about it. And my conclusion is, we can decide to quit, or we can decide to give and grow. What will it be for you? Think about that. Amen. Praise be to God. I pray that this... Amen. Amen. So when you give, thank you so much. When you give your tenth or your tithes to God, trust and believe that he will bless you, because you are giving back to him what he has already given you. Amen? And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, now is the time. Time is running short. Don't be left behind when Christ come again. And all you have to do is open up your heart and say, Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life, to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe that Jesus died on that cross, was risen from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And to continue your walk. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise be to God. And it doesn't stop there. You must continue your walk with Christ. And just ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible teaching church. And a lot of the churches right now are not open, but those who are open, if the Spirit leads you to that church, then you follow the Spirit's unctioning you to go in. Amen? And if you do not like that church, you can always come to House of the Lord Online Ministry. We are there every Sunday at 3 p.m. Amen? To God be the glory, and we're here every day on Pray One for Another,
90 seconds.
From Tuesday to Fridays, or Tuesdays to Saturdays, my bad. So as I come now with the benediction. It's coming from Jude 24 and 25 from the New King James Version. And it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceedingly joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore." And let us all say, amen. Praise God. And that concludes our message for this evening. We are right on time, right on point.
God be the glory. I just got off the bus, too.
Right on point. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God.
God be the glory. So I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you till we meet again tomorrow at 6 p.m. with our sweet hour of prayer, and at 7 p.m. our very own Pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry is going to come and bless our hearts with a word from the Lord. Amen. Again, God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. We love you guys. And always, always you can come join us on our lessons every Tuesday through Wednesday. And on Thursday, we get a word from the Lord. Amen. And on Saturday mornings also from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. So God bless you. And on that note, shalom. And have a blessed evening. And we are going to leave out on "All Belongs to You" by the Wiki Tones. God bless you, everyone. We love you.
Bless
and
you.
Shalom. God bless you, Universe Lady. Thank you.
You're welcome.
God bless you, Pastor. Thank you for showing up in the spirit. Amen.
Amen. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All the honor, all the glory belongs to you, belongs to you. All the worship,
No, go back. Go back. Get back. Go. Go. Get. Go back. Get back. Tiga. Move.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 104.